May it please the court, counsel. My name is Stuart Morse, registration number 16978. I'm here on behalf of Noreen Enterprises, the appellant in this matter. The issue in this appeal is, I believe, very straightforward and very simple. It's whether Noreen Enterprises was entitled to an award of attorney's fees pursuant to statute. The statute, we believe, could not be more clear. And as a result, must be enforced by this court, and was erroneously not enforced by both the ALJ for the division and the Industrial Claims Appeals Office. The fact of the matter is that this matter was originally filed by the claimant, and then it was dismissed, because the claimant failed to prosecute it. That occurred in July of 2009. Claimant waited a substantial period of time and never filed a petition to reopen, at least originally, until such time as they first filed a notice of hearing. The problem is that there's a statute in place in Colorado, 843-303, that says a matter may only be opened under certain specifically enumerated and identified grounds under the statute. And in this particular case, the ground that the claimant, Mr. Gardner, proceeded under was fraud. The problem with that proceeding was the matter was administratively closed by the division because Mr. Gardner had never prosecuted his claim. And throughout the pleadings in this case, and I would even submit the appellate pleadings in this case, that fact seems to be lost upon everyone, at least in Mr. Gardner's camp, because the fact of the matter is all they had to do was submit that there was some sort of fraud involved in the court administratively closing a claim that he had failed to prosecute. The claimant has never addressed that very simple issue, that's really all we had to do at the very beginning of this case. If he wanted to reopen it in 2011, when he first files his original notice, was file a petition and say there was fraud because the administrative law judge closed this case because of somebody lied to him about something, or her. The fact of the matter is that never happened because, of course, the record is very clear that Mr. Gardner completely neglected this matter, and that's why it was administratively closed. The fact of the matter is the claimant never had a chance, he had a chance, but he never had any factual basis upon which to reopen this case. Nevertheless, he persisted and he filed a notice of claim. And that notice of claim and or request for hearing, which is at the record, the CD pages 17 and 18, this is the notice and application for hearing on May 17, 2011, identified no less than 8 different things that were being requested for adjudication. First was compensability. That was clearly not ripe at that point in time. Next thing was medical benefits. Again, not ripe at that point in time. Authorized payor, not ripe at that point in time. Reasonable and necessary medical expenses, not ripe at that point in time. Average weekly wage determination, not ripe. Penalties, not ripe. Other issues such as maximum medical improvement, not ripe. The only thing that they included on that original application for hearing was petition to reopen, but they'd never filed one. Now, this is a problem that the Industrial Claims Appeals Office made in its order in seeming to take our arguments in the Industrial Claims Appellate proceeding that we're saying that because they didn't file a particular piece of paper that somehow that's a jurisdictional bar. That is not and has never been our argument, and I believe we made that clear in our reply brief. The fact of the matter is that the case law and the statutes combined clearly make a petition to reopen the finding of a reopening a jurisdictional prerequisite to hearing all of these other issues.
Mr. Morse, don't we have cases that specifically treat reopening in the same breath as issues such as compensability, MMI, et cetera? I mean, I thought we had some case law out of our court that specifically seemed to allow a reopening to occur without a petition being filed.
And Your Honor, I'm not going to disagree with that because, again, that's not our argument. The problem is the matter must be reopened first before you have all of those issues heard. To the extent there are cases that discuss these issues being litigated at the same time, I don't believe any of those cases have the argument made, and therefore it would be dicta to the extent there was somebody considered it to be a holding that those cases therefore stand for the proposition that you can litigate all of the issues that you want to at one time. The fact of the matter remains that Section 843.211.2d specifically reads, if any person requests a hearing or files a notice to set a hearing on issues which are not ripe for adjudication, at a time such request is or filing is made, such person shall be assessed reasonable attorney fees and costs of the opposing party in preparing for such hearing or setting.
Mr. Morse, was the initial hearing that took place in August 2011, was that vacated or dismissed at the employer's request?
Yes.
Okay. And was there any sort of a record made by the ALJ as to why it was being dismissed at that time?
The ALJ and the parties agree on this, Your Honor, that the ALJ dismissed that matter at that point in time because of the failure to file a petition to reopen. And
are you still arguing? I understood from your briefs that you were arguing that a petition for reopening was required before there could be a hearing on reopening. Are you no longer making that argument?
Your Honor, I believe that a petition to reopen is required, certainly. However, the real jurisdictional hurdle here is that the ALJ must then find whether a petition is filed or no. Okay? Say they just filed a notice to set and the only thing that they listed was a petition to reopen as the issue at that hearing. Procedurally, I think that would be incorrect. I believe that the law does require them to file a petition. However, the real jurisdictional impediment, and that's what the case law talks to, in terms of whether a matter is ripe for adjudication, is if there is a jurisdiction, if there is a legal impediment, that is the failure to have the matter reopened. Unless and until the ALJ finds that the matter may be reopened, there is no case to hear.
So if the jurisdictional bar to rendering ripe the issue of reopening is the finding that a reopening, I guess I'm confused. Why did the employer agree that the ALJ should vacate the hearing or dismiss the hearing in August 2011? Shouldn't the ALJ at least have heard the reopening issue, given that you concede that you don't need to have a petition for reopening in order to consider reopening?
I see your point. The petitioner wasn't prepared to put on that evidence at that point in time. They went to the hearing thinking that we're...
at least as to that first hearing, whether they're prepared or not, the reopening issue was ripe, because you have said that you don't need to file jurisdictionally a petition for reopening before you can...
Correct, Your Honor.
So that was correct. Ripe then, the hearing. The reopening issue was ripe as of the August 2011 hearing.
The reopening issue was ripe. Technically, no, because they hadn't filed the petition, but I believe that you could, based upon Judge Casebolt's argument, say that they could get away with that.
But I thought you said the ripeness issue was tied to whether there was a jurisdictional bar to considering the issue. You said there was no jurisdictional bar by the failure to file a petition to reopen.
Okay, let me rephrase, because I don't think I've been clear. The jurisdictional bar is the fact that the matter was dismissed. There is no case pending anymore. The only way to get a case pending again is to file a petition to reopen. That was never done. However, if you want to go down the road of we're not really going to treat the rules as being rules in this forum because it's the Division of Workers' Compensation, and that seems to happen a little bit more often than it should, but the fact of the matter remains, the jurisdictional bar is the fact that there is no case in which there can be an adjudication made.
I'm confused, counsel. I may be mistaken, but I thought on appeal you're seeking, among other things, attorney fees for the August 2011 having to show up to that hearing and prepare for it, correct?
That's correct, yes.
I'm confused now because apparently you're saying there was no jurisdictional bar for that particular hearing.
I believe there is a jurisdictional bar. They didn't ask for a petition to reopen.
So now you're saying a petition for reopening. Is there a jurisdictional prerequisite to having a hearing and reopening?
I believe that yes, it is. Yes.
Okay, so just to make sure I'm clear, because I haven't heard the same thing throughout this argument, you're saying a petition to reopen is a jurisdictional prerequisite to having a hearing and reopening. Is that your position?
Yes. That's what the statute says. But regardless of that, I don't think that that is necessarily the issue that you have to decide this case upon. The fact remains in that all of the issues at the point in time when they made their when they presented their notices to set and applications for hearing, the statute says when you do that, if a person requests a hearing or files a notice to set a hearing on issues which are not ripe for adjudication, it cannot be controverted that at the time either one of the notices or applications for hearing were filed, that any of the issues save one could potentially be right for adjudication.
So I'm just saying if you concede that a petition to reopen wasn't required, you still have the argument that these five other things listed require the assessment of attorney.
Precisely, and that's what BCW says. The law couldn't be more clear on this. I was baffled by the ICAO's argument that we had made this jurisdictional argument, because we always objected to jurisdiction post the original dismissal. The ICAO ignored the town of Ignacio versus the ICAO because that case clearly says that until a matter is actually reopened, the division doesn't have jurisdiction to hear any of this stuff.
So if we adopted your position here, counsel, would we effectively be mandating a bifurcated hearing procedure that there always have to be a hearing and reopening first before there could be a hearing on the compensability issues?
I believe so, yes.
And has that rule been adopted by the ICAO? Or would be judicially?
Your Honor, I don't believe.
Would we be creating it here by judicial opinion?
Respectfully, I don't believe that the ICAO gets to make that decision. I believe that that's statutory, and that's what the statute says. The statute says
compensability is something that can be determined only after the case is reopened. But why couldn't you do that at the same hearing in sequential fashion?
Because that's the very point of having Section 843.211. Why would you have a petition to reopen hearing that you may never win, and then have the other side in this case, my client, have to prepare on compensability, medical benefits, and all of these other things that may never, ever set foot in a courtroom because there's no reasonable basis for a petition to reopen. That's the entire purpose of that statute.
Thank you.
With that having been said, Your Honor, I notice my time's up, so thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. I'm Anthony Viorst, and I'm here on behalf of Jason Gardner. Just a brief rundown of the facts here. There was a May 19th of 2011 application for hearing filed by Mr. Gardner's counsel. On August 31st of 2011, the ALJ did vacate that hearing because no formal petition to reopen had been filed. It's our position, consistent with what the ICAO ruled and what the this court has previously ruled, as cited in my brief, that a formal petition to reopen is not required. And you've discussed that previously with Mr. Morse, but we don't believe a formal petition to reopen was required. And so the ALJ's ruling as to that issue was not legally correct. And that in fact, the petition to reopen was right on August 31st.
Was your client prepared to go to hearing in August 2011?
Your Honor, I was actually not trial counsel, I couldn't say. What I can say is that there's no record of either that, there's no transcript of either the August 31st hearing or the January 2012 hearing. And it's our position, pursuant to well-founded rules and case law, that the appellant bears the burden of presenting its case as to that issue, presenting the evidence as to that issue, and we don't have it.
Mr. Viorst, I hope you will address this issue, which is Mr. Morse has made the comment that the statute for attorney fees has absolutely no force if it isn't imposed in this particular type of a situation. For example, the first August of 2011 hearing that was dismissed because the ALJ said there was not a proper petition before it. So what is the purpose of the attorney fees statute if not to apply to a situation like that?
I think the purpose of the attorney fee statute is to sanction people who, you know, abuse the workers' compensation process. And, you know, I think it depends on a case-by-case basis. But, yeah, if you set a hearing that cannot under any circumstances be held at that particular time, then I think that's inappropriate and sanctionable. But I believe in this case, when you're talking about a petition to reopen and the merits of that petition to reopen, I think those two issues can be held concurrently or serially on the same date.
Well, isn't the purpose of the statute to compensate, in this instance, employers' counsel if they have to prepare for issues that aren't ripe to be heard or can't be heard? And if that's the situation, why shouldn't the ICAO have given attorney fees to Mr. Morse for at least that August 2011 hearing?
Well, and I guess my answer, Judge, would be number one, I think that is the purpose of the statute, but I think, first of all, that the merits of the petition to reopen were ripe because if the petition to reopen had been granted, it could have been then heard. And there is case law that I cited in my brief in which the petition to reopen and the merits are heard at the same hearing. And as Judge Navarro mentioned, I mean, and as I mentioned in my brief, principles of judicial economy would favor that sort of proceeding rather than holding two different hearings at a remote site and forcing everybody to come back twice. So I think there are situations in which it is legally or factually impossible to hold a hearing that has been set by the applicant for the hearing. But I don't believe that principle applies here because in these circumstances, with a petition to reopen and a hearing on the merits, those two things can be held simultaneously.
But you agree, I think, that the hearing on the merits could not happen unless and until the ALJ granted the petition to reopen.
I would agree with that. Yes, Your Honor. I would agree. So you set both for a hearing, and then the court makes a determination first as to whether it wants to reopen, and then would proceed then to the hearing on the merits. And if the court says, no, I'm not going to reopen, then the court stops the hearing at that point.
But wouldn't that suggest that the hearing on the merits issues was not ripe, unless and until the petition to reopen had been granted?
Well, I think you can set both at the same time. You know, I suppose you could argue technically it wasn't ripe unless and until the petition to reopen had been granted. You know, I think as a practical matter, and I think we have to deal with practical situations here in the legal realm, I think the cap rules that are in effect now in the state reflect that, you know, we're trying to be efficient with resources and the resources of the litigants, the resources of the court, and we're trying to move things along quickly and efficiently.
But is it really efficient for the employer to prepare a hearing on the compensability issues if they may never be heard?
Well, I suppose that could result in extra work for the council if those issues aren't going to be heard. On the other hand, if you have to come back twice, you know, that also creates problems in terms of the use of judicial resources and litigant resources. So,
well, but the court wouldn't have to hear the compensability issues at the same hearing. It could simply say, I'm limiting myself to hearing just the reopening issues. Don't talk to me about the rest of them.
It could.
So the court's time is not taken up. The lawyer's time, however, the defending lawyer's time is taken up because they've got witnesses, they've got experts, they brought in all the evidence that they think they need to have. So I'm not understanding the judicial economy by separating the two. I can see that there would be judicial economy under some circumstances, but when you tell them they got to be prepared on the entire case, and it turns out they only have to be prepared on the reopening issue, isn't that a huge waste of one side's resource?
It could possibly be a waste of some amount of resources on this for counsel. It could. I do stand by my position that the holding of two hearings could also be a waste of resources for all concerned. And I do believe there is case law saying you can't do both at the same time. But addressing that issue in this particular case, Your Honors, I would ask this court to consider page 3 of Noreen Enterprises' brief at the very bottom, where actually Noreen Enterprises' counsel says, and I quote, Noreen's counsel attended the hearing based on the assumption that, as required by law, Gardner would only present his case as it related to the reopening of his claim. So he's saying he didn't even prepare for the merits. So, you know, as applied to this case, I'm not sure that situation applies.
Wouldn't that come out, though, in terms of the attorney fee award?
Yeah, it would. But, again, as a practical matter, he's saying he didn't even prepare for that. There is that. So my argument as to the attorney fee issue is two-pronged. One is you are allowed to hold a hearing as to both. But number two, my second argument is that you have to raise this issue before the ALJ. And they didn't do that here. What Noreen Enterprises' attorney did, Mr. Morse did, was he argued vociferously on multiple occasions that attorney fees were required because no petition to reopen had been filed. And lo and behold, the ICAO comes back correctly and says, well, no, that's actually not the law, Mr. Morse. And now all of a sudden he's going, well, okay, well, maybe it's because he set a hearing on the merits. And he's saying he didn't even prepare for the hearing on the merits, so I'm not quite sure what his attorney fees would be. But you have to raise the issue before the ALJ, and he never raised this issue. His only argument, really, in before the ALJ was that the May 2011 application for hearing was deficient and merited the imposition of sanctions because no formal petition to reopen had been filed. That was the only thing he raised before the ALJ. So he never said.
So can I clarify that? So by the time we get around to the January 2012 hearing, and the pleading, there were various pleadings that were filed in preparation to that hearing. In those pleadings, didn't the employer ask for attorney fees then as well? And weren't some of those fees related to preparing for the merits issues on compensability?
Well, again, Your Honor, we don't have a transcript because they didn't order it. Okay, so I'm not sure what happened at that hearing, nor can Your Honors be sure.
So don't we have the motions or petitions?
We have the post-hearing motions. We do. And he did, again, ask for attorney fees based on, really, the May 2011 hearing setting, not even the September 2011 hearing, request for hearing, which resulted in the January 2012 hearing. And the argument, the only argument made was that there was no petition to reopen. That was the only argument made. But then when he goes to the ICAO and then before this court, he's arguing, well, actually what I meant was he set a hearing on the merits, and that's why sanctions are merited. But that was never argued ever before the ALJ. And it's our position that that request can't be granted now. We asked your honors to consider that that not only the issue of judicial economy, but also the issue of whether this particular argument was made before the ALJ or not, and it was not.
Counsel, can I follow up on that point? It seems like you're drawing very fine lines, perhaps, in the sense that didn't the employer say there was no jurisdiction for the ALJ to hear any issues unless and until it reopened the case?
Correct.
So that all other issues were not ripe yet?
Correct.
And he asked for attorney fees because all the other issues were not ripe yet?
He asked for attorney fees because no petition to reopen had been filed. I mean,
rendered every other issue not ripe, correct?
Correct.
Under his view?
Correct.
So wouldn't that include the compensability issues?
Well, every other issue would include the compensability issues, yes, I agree with that.
So didn't he present that to the ALJ?
Well, it's our position that the grounds that he argued, the deficiency in the application for hearing was the failure to file a petition to reopen. And remember, if you go back and look at the pleadings, you'll see, even after the hearing in January 2012, he said, the only application for hearing that merited an attorney fee award was the May 2011, the first one, because that one was not filed in conjunction with the petition to reopen. The September 2011 application for hearing, he didn't even ask for attorney fees as to that application, because he didn't contest the request for hearing on the merits. He only contested the absence of a petition to reopen. So, you know, I guess you can call it a fine line, Judge Navarro. I'm calling it, you know, a valid line. That was the argument made before the ALJ. It wasn't made before the ICAO. They validly interpreted their own precedent, their own rules, their own case law, and says we can't award attorney fees under these circumstances. And we would ask your honors to affirm the ruling of the ICAO. Thank you.
Thank you. Case will stand submitted. We'll get you a written opinion in due course. Thank you for your arguments this afternoon.